Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visitscotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz band leader and vocalist Chanel Johns. We take a deep dive into her debut album coming out in the summer of 2026 called Stars, along with upcoming shows, her career, and so much more. The album makes a significant milestone in her career, following her extensive work as a featured vocalist and ensemble leader. On May 16th, 2026, she will celebrate the release of her highly anticipated EP, produced by Grammy winner Kamal Kenyatta, with a debut performance at the La Jolla Music Society in San Diego. Then, she will have a formal album release celebration on August 20th, 2026 at Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York City. After years as a band leader at the Jazz at Lincoln Center, she is stepping into her first solo project. Initially attracted to jazz as a rebellion against her religious upbringing in the Seventh-day Advent Church in Hartford, Connecticut, she went on to earn the number one spot on BBC's classical radio as a vocalist in a jazz ensemble, and the Boston Globe is accurately described her as history in the making. We cover this whole fascinating ride. Enjoy this interview. Wonderful story. I'm looking forward to getting into the album, your career, all the particulars. So thank you for taking a minute out today. It's great to meet you.
Oh, thanks so much, Joe.
You bet. So let's begin our journey with this. Before we get into the album and kind of the beginnings of your career that's evolved to right now, I want to start with one of the biggest events that happened in our lifetime that I don't think we talk about that much, and it was COVID. 6 years ago, it rearranged all kinds of things in our world. How did you get through that era, and how has it changed the way that you approach the stage and your life today?
COVID was a time of exploration, I think, for me as an artist. Before COVID, I was working as a side woman and still contemplating the direction of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to say. And right before COVID, I had just come back from a tour in Shanghai as a band leader. And I was reflecting over that time period, and then COVID hit, and I thought, you know, maybe not. Maybe I should go into something else now that this is happening. Maybe this is a sign that, you know, my doubts are valid and music isn't the way for me to go. But
as the crispy chicken sandwich from 7-Eleven, people always call me loud. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm crispy. Did you expect me to whisper? If you want quiet, go eat some soup and reflect. Like, I know I'm a handful. I'm bold. I'm juicy. Throw some pickles and barbecue sauce on me, and baby, I'm a whole meal. And with 7 rewards, I'm just $4. Quiet? No. Crispy, saucy, and $4? Very. Only at 7-Eleven. Valid through 6/23/26. Participating stores only while supplies last. See app for full terms.
Through COVID and the time that we spent indoors, I just fell in love with music again, and I started writing again. And coming out of it, I thought, all right, well, we're back at square one. We're not running away anymore. We're going to face it head on. If we made it through this, then I think I'll be able to make it through anything. So it really helped to change my perspective a lot.
So before we get into the brand new album, you're, as we mentioned kind of before we got on, you're in San Diego, May 16, big performance. that's going on. Talk to me a little bit about how the show came about and kind of the particulars, the architecture of it, and how it feels.
Yes, so I was working in San Diego like maybe 2 or 3 years ago with this trumpeter, Etienne Charles, and Kamau Kenyatta, the Grammy Award-winning producer, happened to be in the audience. And he comes up to me afterwards and says, "We need to connect. I want to work with you." And he followed through. I flew out here a couple times. We had great writing sessions together. And the album started to form. He encouraged me to bring in some original music that I had. And later on, he connected me with the executive producer, Eleanor, and he also became a curator at La Jolla Music Society. And was they were looking for, shows to do for this season, and he thought, this would be a great fit. We have an album coming out, and this would be a great time to start her debut. So it's been underway for about 2 or 3 years now, and it's finally coming to be. So we're really excited about it.
So you've had quite a career up to this point. How did a girl from Connecticut grow into this role of being in one of the most premier bands on the planet and to evolve to this debut album? How did all of this begin? How did music make sense? Was it always written in the stars, so to speak? Every pun intended, I guess. Talk to me a little bit about that.
That's so interesting. Yeah, every time I'm on stage and I'm like, "Anyone from Connecticut?" It's always crickets. But anytime you say Brooklyn, New York, everyone's like, "Oh, yeah." But it's weird to be in between Boston and New York, but it's also a blessing. I grew up with music in the household, but I grew up in a Jamaican family, so it was really reggae and gospel that formed my early years. But being in the culture of Connecticut between these two major cities, I got my experience in jazz pretty early, going to school, studying musical theater and classical and jazz. There's a great institution there, Jackie McLean Institute, well, now the Hartford Conservatory, where I studied music in college and kind of veered off to some other things like music management. And I was still a bit hesitant about going full time into music. But the culture of the city of Hartford is really rich in that it invites its young to explore jazz, explore music and dance and all of these things that I picked up that helped form my career and my love for the art form.
So, talk to me a little bit about influences, whether they were in recordings or in your being in such a prestigious school. I mean, I've heard so much about this school. It almost s seems like, I mean, I'm from the Gen X generation. I remember that show Fame. Like, there's this lore that goes into schools like that
Yeah.
incubates all of this creative energy, and then
Definitely.
every other person ends up making it big in the world. What were the influences that shaped the way that you were going to find your voice and your foothold in this creative world?
Oh my goodness, definitely my professors there. Jackie McLean's son, Renee McLean, was my professor, and he gave me like the greatest piece of advice, I think my freshman year. And he said, "You don't have to just sing, you're also an instrumentalist." And he showed me Betty Carter and Abby Lincoln, and those two vocalists, changed my musical trajectory. And also the community, my friends, we all, studied music together, and we challenged each other. We helped each other find new sounds. It was really a blessing to be a part of a community so young, because everyone's into listening to pop or hip hop or and we're all into this niche. And so I had people to talk to about it and to grow with in the genre, and they're still my friends today. I still play with them today. So I think I wouldn't be the same musician if it weren't for my professors and my community of friends. Yeah.
So the one thing that you get to do is you have the gift of getting on stage and presenting music to people that want to hear you, that love it, and it can be a life-changing moment at any point in your life to see a live performance. So my question to you is this: what was the first live jazz or otherwise show that you saw that made a big impact or made you think, I'm going to be up there one day, I want to do that?
Whoa, I have such a terrible memory. Okay, let me think. The first show, Jess. Oh, I already know. Okay. I went with my friends to New York. I was still living in Connecticut, and we took a trip to New York to the Village Un not the Village, yeah, the Village Underground. Wait, Village Vanguard, Village Vanguard. And playing that night was Roy Hargrove. And I remember, I don't even know how I got in. I don't think I, someone, they were just really sweet to us. And they were like, okay, you can sit in the far back. But we got in and he played this jazz standard, Speak Low. And I always heard it as a ballad, I mean, as a bossa, but he played it as a ballad. And I think he was playing the flugelhorn at that time. And my every, you could hear the pin drop in the house. My jaw was on the floor. I listened to every note, his tone, every inflection. He was saying so much without lyrics. I was so used to listening to vocalists up until that point. And he completely changed the game for me. Also in that set, Never Let Me Go. I mean, I'm just saying, I can remember these songs. I can remember hearing his sound to this day, right now, as I'm talking about. I can still remember how the sound felt to me. And I've never experienced that before. So that changed my life.
You know, I was just kind of belaboring over my set list for next week, and I was trying to go through either it was going to be a live cut of a reissue of Yusef Lateef or Roy Hargrove, and I picked Roy, and I just did it an hour ago. They just reissued live at the Burn Jazz Festival in 2000, and I picked the tune Circus.
Oh, nice. I have to check that out. I don't know that. I don't know that song. I have to.
It's a reissue, and it's just starts out kind of in this low kind of like we're gonna get into it, and then like with Roy, it hits it, and then it just goes. Like it takes a while for the car to swallow the gas, but once it does, it's moving. So it is off and running. So I want to know this. You know, when you have dreams, obviously. For you going to this prestigious high school, your dreams of being a musician happened early on. And when you have that dreamy world you live in of being a musician all the time, it's kind of theoretical at that point. You have this ideological notion of what your life is going to turn out to be. Then you actually get out into the world and you start living it. What's been the difference between this idea of what you thought life as a musician every day was going to be life be like and living it every single day right now?
I believe that my faith is really manifesting in ways I never thought possible. I've been able to work in so many bands through moving to New York and working at Jazz Lincoln Center as an artist assistant, not even trying to sing and
You thought this was your Run Club era. Turns out, it was more of a thinking about Run Club era. The good news? Someone's marathon training is about to start. Sell your workout gear on Depop. Just snap a few photos and we'll take care of the rest. They get their race day fit and you get a payout for trying. Someone on Depop wants what you've got. Start selling now. Depop, where taste recognizes taste.
Being discovered there randomly by my boss one night, as I was being featured in a friend's band. And, you know, my boss saying, okay, I think you're meant to do this. Let's get you out here. Let's get you on this gig and that gig and opportunities and doors opening up little by little. There, of course, there's this doubt that there isn't enough work that you can't, you're a starving artist, or there isn't the support that's necessary to really survive, make it. But doors keep opening, and I think it's just belief that, you know, my gift has a place, and there's a reason it's here and it belongs to me, and if I keep using it, if if I keep taking one step forward at a time, then, you know, it'll do what it's meant to do. And as long as you are just holding on to that, I think the universe will definitely provide the rest, as it has for me in this show and this album and the community I'm surrounded by, everyone who's supporting me right now. I mean, that's just a testament of the smallest amount of faith, you know? I think all artists that are doing it right now have that kind of mentality to keep pushing forward.
So I want to stay in that creamy center of the dream of getting into this world of music. And, you know, you've had the chance, along with Jazz at Lincoln Center, to be at Carnegie Hall, Kennedy Center, Hollywood Bowl, Newport. But ultimately, what was the stage that you got on in the beginning where you were like, I can't believe this is happening?
Yeah, I would have to say it is Jazz at Lincoln Center, Rose Hall Theater. And because I say this, because I was working there, right? I just mentioned, as an artist assistant for two years. And I would I would set up the room for someone like Diane Reeves or Dee Dee Bridgewater, like my heroes in the music. And I would, you know, walk out on stage and help prep everything for these big shows that were coming through. And after everyone leaves the stage, I would always walk out when the stage is blacked out, and look out into the audience and say to myself, you know, I can be here, right? I can get here. This is pretty awesome. This is cool.
Yeah.
I can see myself doing this. Why not? Why not me? And my first call out of COVID was to perform on that stage with the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra.
Wow.
And there wasn't a soul in the audience because, of course, we were still being quarantined. But in that moment, after the first note, I was like, wow, I'm here. Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, you've also had the chance to traverse the planet, you know, from Africa to Mexico to Qatar, China, all of these different places. Being able to be in front of different cultures and different sets of people on this planet has to affect you as an artist. What has it meant for you to kind of globetrot and see different cultures and peoples? How has that added to your voice as a musician, especially as you get ready for this debut album to come out?
Well, I, you know, what's helped me write this music is all of my travels. I really believe that the human experience is so common. We have more in common than we have our differences. We are all struggling with grief. We're all struggling with love. We're all struggling with finding ourselves. We're all struggling for freedom, for liberation, for our voices to be heard. Whatever language, wherever you are in the world, it's, you're experiencing similar things. And that has helped me connect so much to myself, you know, and help me understand, okay, this isn't a singular experience. I'm not special. And also I've gained this confidence in knowing that if other people are going through it and getting through it and thriving, not just surviving in the midst of these things, then I can too. And I have this platform now where I can connect, help to better connect us all. And not in a way that's going to be heavy either, because that's not who I am. I'm like, it's really helped me to be more of myself as a free-spirited person and artist, and be more spiritual, and in understanding that my artistry is spiritual and it is a ministry and is meant to bring people together. And I'm really, that's traveling the world has to be my favorite part of being a musician. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. You know, I don't want to get into anything political, but I think the elephant in the room in America right now is there's a lot of stress going on between war and immigration and things that are politically or policy-wise getting regressed rights as far as rights. And I think artists have always played a very special role in the development and the connectivity of the social fabric of what we know as America. How much of what we're living through right now are you thinking about as you release this album, step on stage in front of folks to give them a little bit of respite away from the headlines, to make them feel connected and okay about what's going on in our collective world?
That's an interesting question. I honestly, I am not, well, one of my fears of being an artist was that I looked up to someone like Nina Simone so much, and I feared that I wasn't being as vocal about what was happening to me and to my community and to people around the world. And what's interesting is when I started writing, everything that I wanted to say online or in conversations came out in lyrics. And so a lot of the album is actually heavily based on what we are experiencing and living through right now, and have been even before COVID, for the past 10 years when I started writing. And I think what's special about the album is something I discovered, where there's this overwhelm of what can I do really? What part do I play here? My voice is so small, how can it really make an impact? And for me personally, what I've written into the lyrics and music is that it starts with what we can control and how we live our lives on a daily basis and the conversations we do have with loved ones, with strangers, and also how we view ourselves. We have to find the confidence, but not just the confidence, the permission. Like we have to allow ourselves to really dream of the world we want to see and not get so bogged down or daunted by, you know, it'll never happen. We can't be discouraged. That's the word I'm looking for. We need to find that. Well, the music is saying we need to find that light in us so that we can carry that forward with the mission of change. Because it starts with one heart at a time. And studying all of the fighters that came before me, the warriors, the activists that came before me, they were so adamant on changing the hearts of people. And that's what I want to come out in the music.
And that's a perfect lead in to asking you about your new album, The Debut Stars. You know, you've been kind of on a side. I mean, you've been the one that supported all of these big names and all of these other musicians. And now you step out under the spotlight with your debut. It's your initial real big shout out into the jazz world. How does this feel on a visceral level?
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-burner gas grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Terrifying. Oh, everyone keeps reminding me that it's a different position. It's being a side woman versus being a band leader. And I have to step out of the side woman mentality into leading. And I'm struggling so much with that because you, as a side woman, you get to hide behind the vision of whoever is leading out front. But what's helped is that the leader also serves. They're also giving of themselves and giving way to others' opinions. And like people in my band and the producers and the creative team, we're all on board with the vision. And I think that has helped take the pressure off. But I'm definitely excited to birth this newness in me as an artist and also form a community and family that I can build with and learn from. And I know there's going to be more to come because there's already more in me that wants to be created and let out. So I think this is just the first step, really. And more than anything, that there's two sides of the coin. There's being nervous and there's being excited. So I'm leaning towards being excited for everything that's happening right now and in the future.
So at the end of the day, what are you hoping a listener gets from this album?
I hope they feel alive. I hope they feel like there's this fire in them that needs to burn. And I hope they give themselves the permission to run and be as wild and as ambitious as they dream of, and to not let anything society says or anything anyone says hold them back, and let their own voice be their only a validation.
So at the end of the day, everyone has a perception of you. Family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand with you, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
I am a wild woman running free through a field of blooming flowers. That is me all day, every day.
Wow. That's even better without the video on. That pure audio of that presents such a great visual. What a great answer. You had a lot going on. May 16th, La Jolla Music Society in wonderful sunny San Diego, California. The material is going to be unveiled. Official release August 20th, 2026. Formal celebration at Jazz at Lincoln Center. The new album is Stars. If anyone wants tickets, they want to get the album proper, download, buy it. Any of the good business, where do they go?
All right, you can find me on my website, chanelljohns.com. You can find me on all the platforms, Chanel Vokes, VOX. And I look forward to building a community with you all.
Well, this is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for being a part of this community, taking a minute out today. Best of luck with the shows, the album release. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Joe. I had a blast.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in San Diego, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Chanel for swinging on by Neon Jazz. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Wander back to that place in time. Heal the child that you left behind. Those before you had but to see. All they had was a dream.
Neon Jazz.